Thankful for your time. Find your Bible, turn to the book of John, chapter number 6. The book of John and chapter number 6. I'll be reading a lengthy portion this morning, starting in verse number 35. As soon as you find that, John chapter 6, verse 35. Verse 35 begins, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Then, or when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth the words, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Let's go with the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the wonderful songs. Lord, I thank you for every bit of music today, how it spoke to my heart. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to read of your word. And I ask you today to take these words, cement them deep within our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, for only you can do what is needed in our hearts today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. In way of preface, I hope that you understood from verse number 63, that when Jesus spoke of eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, that he was speaking in spiritual terms. We're not speaking of cannibalism. We're not speaking of the Lord's table where we would take of the bread and believe for some reason we're actually eating the flesh of Christ. And we're actually drinking His blood. That is not what He refers to. These words are spiritual words, and they're referring to receiving Christ as our Savior. Allowing Him to be in our hearts and our lives. Over the last several weeks, 8 times, we have observed the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "I am." Matter of fact, we did another one this morning, so I'd have to correct that tonight. And without any hesitation as to its intent, He is in every case making Himself equal with God. As we began our reading today, He said, "I am the bread of life." He is our all in our hour. We saw Him several weeks ago as the door. In looking at Christ as the door, we recognize that there is no other way unto the Father but by Him. As we go through that door of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not come into a parlor. We do not come into a living room. We don't come into a place of ease. As the Jews crossed over the Jordan River, it was not into a place of rest whereby they laid down in a bed and just slept all the time. It was not that kind of rest. The kind of rest was resting in Him to take them through every battle, to take them through every situation that was there, relying upon His strength. For if it is His strength taking us through, then it is no longer us having to try. You know, too many times God's people are trying to live the Christian life and you're failing. You need to let Christ live it in you. And that's very important. But we find here that He is the door. He's the door. It takes us into the way. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to truth. He is the way to true, wondrous life. And so as we go through that door, if you would, you might call it like the entrance to a freeway, and we find ourselves on that road or that path that we travel. Thank the Lord, as we're on that path that we travel, we have Him as our great shepherd. He's the one that is alongside of us. He is the one whom really the yoke goes upon, and through Him and with Him, we thus can find ourselves going through all the situations and the problems of life, for He is He who can handle every situation. Not only along that path that we have Him as our good shepherd and really in the driver's seat, but we also find that we have a light that shows us and illuminates the way for us. Now, our problem is that sometimes we tell Jesus to move over and we grab the steering wheel of life and we find ourselves going off course. We find ourselves operating in the flesh. We find ourselves allowing those things that control us for so many years to still control us rather than the Spirit of God. And we find ourselves alongside the road. And that road has got all sorts of problems alongside of it. This road is built through desert. It's built through highlands. It's built through wastelands. It is built through all sorts of terrain. And you and I, when we get off of that road, sometimes find ourselves in a horrible situation. But I'm so glad that the Savior is back on the road saying, "Come unto Me." Aren't you? I'm so glad that He is willing to extend us the lifeline and to pull us back into Himself. I have felt that tug of His many, many times over. And I'm so thankful for that. And He brings us back upon that narrow and straight path and wants to walk with us over and over. Now, I have found myself doing something. I'm sure you found yourself doing it. In my mind, I see this wonderful path upon which I can trod, and I'm headed toward a certain target. It's toward that wondrous, glorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's eventually eternity with God the Father, with Jesus Christ my Savior, the Holy Spirit of God, the great 3-in-1. It is eventually in that place we call heaven. But I find that oftentimes I'm not on the road. I'm in the greater ditch alongside. I still have my focus upon the same prize, but no longer am I with the Lord. But now I'm alongside the road, and I'm doing all the work myself. I don't know about you, but I've noticed in the greater ditches, people don't normally go as fast. I've noticed that oftentimes we're going to hit something there we don't expect to hit, and pretty soon we're going to be wrecked alongside, and we need the tow truck to come and get us out of that situation. And thank the Lord, He's always there to do that. But oh, how we so often walk in that particular path. Oh, hey, we're heading the right direction. We got the right ideals. We got the right thoughts. But yet we're doing it in the power of the flesh and how we need to allow the Lord to bring us back upon that road. I was thinking about this very road this week, and you know, you and I, we have a lot of things in our lives that we look back, we've made a lot of mistakes, have we not? And we've done some things wrong. And so I've noticed something, the freeways recently. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they go along and they repair the freeways. You notice what they're doing? They're breaking up all the old concrete and they take it to a location, the trucks haul it off, and they grind it up. They bring that same concrete back to the roadway that's been all ground up, and they lay that out as a bed below the new concrete. I understand that the best thing you can do to make a good roadway is to have good drainage. The problem we have up here is that in the wintertime, the water gets down into the cracks, gets underneath the road, and if enough of it gets underneath the road, you know what water does in the winter? It freezes. And as it freezes, it buckles the road, it cracks the road, and well, we've seen the results of that this year, haven't we? But if you would have traveled with me 2 weeks ago down to Florida, you'd not found that kind of situation. They have some other problems down there. But you'd not found all the potholes. You'd not seen the people out who were dental school dropouts putting in the thing. I always tease about that. But you find folks out there putting the stuff in. They don't have to do that. And they're not having to fill those cavities. They're not having to do those kinds of things because they're not having that problem with the water as we have it up here. So it's very important in freezing temperatures that we have that gravel there because the water can flow through it. You know, you and I, we've made a lot of mistakes. We've had some old bricks in our lives and old pieces of concrete in our lives, and we've made a lot of mistakes, but God takes those and grinds them up. And when He grinds them up, He brings them back and makes a nice roadway for us that road might now not crack and not have those problems in it. And that picture in my mind just really took on some new significance for me. I hope it does for you. But God wants us in that way. Along that way, God has something else that's very, very special. And that is that God nourishes. God takes care of us and God is the bread. He is the one who wants to take care of us as the bread to fulfill all the needs that lie within us. For that's what bread does, is fulfill that need that is within us. And of course, He said, I am the bread of life. As our good shepherd, He makes sure that we have the needed nourishment as the bread of life. Have you noticed everything that's in this walk that we have? It's Christ. If you go back and study the Old Testament, look at the wondrous picture of the temple, you will find that all of it pictures Christ. Because He is our all in all. And so we find that He's the bread of life. He's the grain of wheat that we find that is buried in the ground. And our Savior was certainly hung upon the cross, buried in the ground, that He might rise again and produce the wonderful things that He has produced. Not only has He been buried in the ground, but we find that He's been ground in the millstone of the cross that He might provide for you and I that wondrous bread of life. He has gone through the fiery ovens of God's wrath for you and for me. That which was ours, that which belonged to us, that He might present to us the wondrous bread of life, that we might partake of it, and that we might have that wondrous nourishment within our soul. He has been broken for each of us. As the bread of life, as it's pictured as we come together in that time of communion, that time of the Lord's table, and He said, this was broken for you. It's a very special thing, and it's something we've given. As I think of that time when the 5,000 were being fed, Jesus took that bread, Sean, and He broke the pieces off. And He put it in baskets, and they took it out and handed to the people. And so much was there that they were even leftovers. There's enough for all of us. That we might partake of it. Like the manna in the wilderness, He is our sustenance, that we might go down the path of life that He has laid out for us. There's a couple of things that I'd like for us to really kind of look at as we're considering these particular verses here, as we think about the thoughts that He has given for us here. And I want us to notice that the Lord teaches some wonderful things. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. I want us to zero in on that phrase this morning. I want us to think about two words in particular. The first word is come or cometh. The second word is never. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He is the bread of life. And when we come to Him, there is no hunger. We're not talking here about physical hunger, though I do believe that God provides. I do believe that God will provide every need of your body. It might not be beefsteak, it might be hot dogs, but hey, listen. I'm not particularly fond of hot dogs, but they're sure better than nothing. Amen? It might not be what we desire, but hey, God can provide. And our God provides. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Never seen that. Now, God is always wondrously provided in our lives. But I believe this is greater than the physical. I believe it's talking about the spiritual. God wants to provide in our lives. We are very needy. You see, you and I, if we're saved today, we're a three-part person. God has made us in His image. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God has made us into a three-part person. We are body. We look at each other, we can see the body. That's very recognizable. We know all of its limitations. We know the wonders of it, the beauties of it. I mean, we understand all of those things. We also are soul. We have a soul. That which is the feelings, that which is the expressions of the heart, that area of our lives that operates in the realm of thought and so forth. But there's another area that's very important. It's called spirit. Now, before we're saved, that spirit is described as dead. It's there, but it's dead. It's not useful. The spirit is the realm in which God wants to speak to us and lead us. Now, the problem is that you and I, as we grew up, we had a body, we had a soul. Our soul directed all of our life. Its appetites, its desires, with its sinfulness, what led the body to satisfy itself. We are selfish by nature, and we want that satisfaction that comes in that regard. However, when you got saved, we were born of the Spirit. If you're saved this morning, you have a new realm in your life. It is spirit. And it is that Spirit through whom the Holy Spirit and the Word of God want to lead and direct your life. Now, there's a conflict that takes place with the Christian, and that conflict is between the flesh, those old desires, and the Spirit. The flesh is saying to the soul, I want to do this. And the Spirit is saying, no, this is the direction to go. When we yield to the Spirit, we find ourselves going in the direction God wants us to. The bread of life is that which He's feeding to our spirit to direct our lives. It is that which is seeking to nourish us. And so the Lord is saying here that we need to what? Come to Him. He that cometh to me. You see, God is leaving that choice up to you and I. We must come, by the way, on God's terms. We have a very mistaken idea, I believe, and I believe it really comes in the realm of the sovereignty of God. We think that it's all up to us and we can just do as we want to and and God is our little genie that's got to do what He says He's going to do. And oh, how we need to deplore that. We need to operate understanding that we come on His terms. It's not on our terms. It's on His. And so when the Lord says, come, and thankfully, He is willing, it seems like, to be very open to us at all times. He doesn't have to. And I also understand this. Sometimes the doors get shut. We find that in the Word of God. But we need to understand it's on His terms that we come. After life commences, after we've come to know Jesus Christ our Savior, after we've accepted Him as our door, after we have taken that way upon ourselves, we then are in a new position where we need fed spiritually. The old man has been fed. That old flesh, I should say, has been fed. And it has plenty of nourishment. And it seems like everywhere we go, there are things and advertisements and all sorts of things that are constantly feeding that flesh. But there's a need for you and I to feed upon the nourishment that God has for us, that we might allow the Spirit of God to speak to us. And so we've got to come to Him, allow Him to do that in our lives. As a babe, we need to see ourselves totally dependent upon our parent God, our Heavenly Father. Totally dependent upon Him. Our problem is that we grow up and we become independent. We even call our church and describe it as an independent, fundamental Baptist church. I think we need to change that. I think we need to change that to dependent upon Him. Totally dependent upon Him. Now, I know what that independent means, but it also, we need to understand we are dependent. Totally upon Him. And we must have that nourishment from God that only a parent can give. And our need becomes the pedestal then upon which Christ stands. Another problem we find is we don't really recognize our need. If we have all of our physical man taken care of, many times we don't recognize how needy we are spiritually. But we need to come to Him. A marvelous thing happens in my life when I come to Him. He begins to show me all the needs that are there. Sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's unpleasant. But my God is one who wants me to understand that He is the one upon whom I must come and depend. The more dependent I am on Him, the more is His sufficiency. The more dependent upon Him, the more I see Him as sufficient. Our prayer needs to be for daily bread. The Lord said in His prayer, His model prayer, that we ask God for daily bread. He is the bread of life. We think that's talking about just physical bread, and there's nothing wrong with that being physical bread, but it's also spiritual bread. For if we're going to have our life directed and nourished by God, then that spirit must be nourished. That spirit must have its intake. Does not your body crave for food? Does not your body ask for that? I mean, you hear it. I'm hearing it right now. I could bring the mic down. Maybe you could hear it too. I'm sure that just would be exciting to you. But we have that kind of thing. Oh, that craving would be in our spirit as well. Amen. That He might then be able to supply that in our lives. God wants to. But here's an unusual thing. We don't normally eat till we feel hungry. And oftentimes we don't feel hungry spiritually a lot of times because we've been gone from it so long. I don't know if you've ever fasted for 2 or 3 or 4 days, but an unusual thing takes place on about day number 2. Somewhere on day number 2, and it might even be day number 3, after you've been away from food for a while, the craving is gone. It is gone. After the craving is gone, you have to force yourself to eat. I've done it. I know what I speak of. I've gone on fast. And at the end, when I had to eat, didn't want to. Now, for me, that is very strange. But that sometimes happens in our spiritual life. And we need to recognize and make ourselves eat that we might recognize then even greater need. See? Our preparation for partaking, whether it be a sermon, a reading, or a fellowship around Him, I believe must be with something that would help us a great deal. As we feed upon this, I believe it needs to be in prayer. I believe we need to be asking God to do some work and wondrous things in our lives. You know, before we come to church, there's something we do wrong. We get up in the morning and we don't take time with the Lord. I was talking about this in Sunday school this morning on a daily basis as we go to work. But here's something very important as we come to church. We need to prepare. Today it's very popular to come as you are. We don't prepare ourselves physically, and we don't prepare ourselves spiritually. It's very interesting in the Old Testament when the priests were preparing to go into the place of service in the temple, they prepared themselves both ways. Not only physically, and they dressed in very ornate clothes and something that was very specific, but they were also to be prepared mentally and they were to be prepared spiritually. And it ought to be a time where we pray and ask God to really speak to our hearts. A time we ask that God take the message, God take the music, God take all the men that are in our lives, I mean all the people that gather together, and that God would allow those things to be used to minister our hearts, but also that we might be available for ministry in the lives of others. And that we might be in tune with the Spirit of God, that we might allow Him to do all that He wants to do in our lives. And so often, we don't prepare for our spiritual meals. Now, I'm not a meal fixer. I'm not a cook. If somebody doesn't fix it for me, I guess I'm going to McDonald's. I don't particularly like doing that, but I just, I'm not one of those people. This week, I've observed my family because we've eaten together so many times with my daughter being home and different things. And I watch all these, especially the ladies in our families, they prepare things and they bring all this stuff together. And, boy, they're doing all this work and all this stuff. And one of the things that always marvels me is sometimes it takes, an hour or 2 hours to do all the preparation. Man, I can have it down in 10 minutes. Really, think about it. I feel guilty at weddings. Jessica, I felt guilty, you gals that I've had your weddings, I feel guilty because, man, they prepare for months. And I stand up here in 10 minutes, get it all done. I mean, serious, it's over. And will you have him? Yep. Will you have her? Yep. Okay. We marched in, we marched out, and it's all over. One guy said, how much do I owe you? I remember years ago, Brother Prouty, he said, well, whatever she's worth. He gave her five. He gave him $5. Brother Prouty taught me never say that. But oh, how we need to prepare. As we prepare for that physical food, we need to prepare for the spiritual food. Seeking God, asking Him to do something in our lives. For many, many years, here's what I did. I'd read my Bible and then I would pray. And this thing really hit my heart. And I thought, my goodness, I need to at least pray, God, speak to my heart. God, here I am. This is what I need this morning, and speak to my heart. And God has wondrously met that prayer in my life, that I might feed upon Him. We need to feed upon our Savior. Notice verse number 53, 4, and 5. This is interesting. He says, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I looked at that and I thought, a lot of folks take that wrong and they think, well, actually, they say, well, if you take it of the Lord's table, that's actually His body and His blood. But that's not the intent of this. God wants to understand something here, and that is we are feeding upon His death. What He did for us upon the cross of Calvary. He died there for you and for me. And thus we feed upon it. By the way, most of you don't feed upon live animals, do you? A week and a half ago or whatever it was, I was sitting at Matt's table and his father-in-law was there. And he looks over at one of the grandkids and he says, how you like that dead chicken? Well, we don't eat live chickens, do we? And it's the death of Christ that makes Him so special to us and what He did upon the cross of Calvary. But thank God He's not still dead. We feed upon that. Did you notice at the table, when we partake of the bread and the cup, we don't dip the bread in the cup. They're separate. And the body and the blood, as they're separated here for us to understand, He is one who died for us. And He says to us that we ought to come to Him. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man what? Lay down his life for his friends. Notice verse 36. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. It's sad to say that there are those whom God has made Himself available to, but they have not really believed in Him. They have seen the truth. They've seen the facts. They've heard the stories. They've sat in churches. They've heard sermons. But really the belief sets not within the heart of who the Savior is. And so our Lord says, He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And let's take just a few moments for that word, never. Never hunger. On this path we trod with our shepherd is a never-ending supply of all that is needed. It does not end. It does not end. We can count upon it. As the Jew every morning would wake up and walk out and gather the manna and bring it into their houses and prepare it for their meals that day, so does the manna that God has for you and I, day after day after day. And here's what is marvelous. He gives us every day exactly what we need if we will come. If we will come. There be our problems so often. We put Him off. We say, wait a minute. And we find other things in our way. But all how we need to understand. As we come, He never, ever will stop the supply. The other day, my wife, she said, one of her favorite verses is verse 37. Look at that with me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We have a Heavenly Father that wants to take care of us. We have a Savior who's the bread of life, who is the sustenance day after day that we could partake of, that we might have the nourishment, that we thus might have the energy to walk that path of life. Arm in arm with our great Shepherd, beholding the light of God upon the path that lies before us, having come through that door that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That resurrected Christ who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I have a living Savior I can walk with day after day upon that wondrous path. Beholding all that's round about in that wondrous, glorious place of victory in Jesus. And the nourishment that I need day after day. Have you read your Bible today? Have you let God speak to your heart and give you something? 3 of the chapters I read today, actually 4 was chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. This wondrous sermon that the Lord spoke in the last hours before His death. Great, wonderful words. And there were some things that jumped out and gripped my heart. Great things. I got to find one of them. Dia forgot. Let me share it. I'm in chapter 6. But in chapter 15. I've read this 100 times. Verse 12. This is my commandment. It's not an option. It says, this is my commandment. That ye what? Love one another. How? Who? As I have loved you. How did Christ love me? Christ loved me sacrificially. He gave His life for me. I didn't deserve it. But I'm to love that way. Sacrificially. It's not for self-benefit. It's not that at all. Matter of fact, real love is for the benefit of the other person, the other individual. That's what it's really all about. And it's not seeking a payback. It normally comes, but it's not seeking it. That's the love that my God had for me, and He said, I want you to love that way. Spoke to my heart. Father, today I pray, You work in our lives. God, I pray, You'll help us to see some wonderful truth. We might understand there is glorious nourishment awaiting us if we'll but come to You. God, help us to see that we walk around so starved because we don't come. We're so empty often because we don't come. And Lord, You have promised that You would never let us down, that the supply would always be there. But You will never force feed us. We've got to come. And so, Lord, I pray You'll work in hearts. I pray for Your people. Lord, often we allow so many things to get in our way. As we spoke in Sunday school, God, that You might purge those things. Those things, they're not wrong, they just get in the way. They're not evil, they just take our time, take us away from You. And so, Lord, I pray You will work in hearts. I pray for you in this room that know You're not a Savior. Really have very little understanding of what we're speaking of today. Oh, God, that they might know that there is wondrous nourishment for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. May they understand that there is in Him their all in all. May they realize that it's their sin that is separating them, and how they need to turn from it and unto You. Lord, You save us from our sin and set our feet next unto You upon the solid rock. Work in hearts, I pray, in these moments that we might be solidified in Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. As Emily plays this morning, God has spoken to your heart. We've already hit a lot of things, but God maybe spoke to your heart on something we've not even hit, because that's the Spirit of God. You need to respond to Him. In church, what we do a lot is just walk down the aisle and kneel up here and pray. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. So I can do it in my seat. Perhaps you can. But I want to ask you this, please. If you need to be saved, come and see me. While she's playing, if God has spoken to your heart, you realize there's a need in your life to accept Him as your Savior, to allow Him to come into your life, realizing that if I don't do this His way, it's not going to happen. And I need to come to Him. Let God work in your life.